Hi, and thanks for joining us for our episode of Localites OKC. I'm Anna Farhaw.
And I'm Kayla Coffey. And hey, what's up, Anna?
Hey, so we're getting back to it a little bit now. Things are starting to kind of happen all at once of things we've been waiting for quite a while now.
Yes, I was going to say, people held off, and now it's all happening. And I mean, not the timing I would have chosen, but that's okay. We're doing what we can all.
Yeah, so we're back today with a guest we've been looking forward to at least probably like a year, or we've probably known about this maybe even longer than that, but
yeah,
we've had them on our radar for a long time, and I'm excited for it.
Good.
But before that, we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff we've done recently. Like, not a lot comes to my mind, but I did have a couple fun things that I wanted to mention. So the Philharmonic did come back, and they just have, like, very limited seating at the Civic Center. So I went and checked that out, like, about the beginning of November, and that was really fun to be back, like, seeing a live performance again.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that and felt very safe there and wore a mask the whole time and everything. So I'm glad I got to go kind of get a little bit of taste of things I used to do before the pandemic times.
Absolutely. Well, similar, I finally made it out to the study, which, as we all know, we had on the show, and then they opened in the middle of the quarantine rolling out in March, and so you were able to go to their soft opening and check them out.
Yeah.
I've had a couple friends that have made it by, but I was not going anywhere. I'm still not really going anywhere, but they've got patio space now. And so I wanted to have a small get-together with two of my coworkers and outside and somewhere kind of cool and new. You know, us people always want to go to the cool place. And so I was like, oh, I'm sure you haven't been here, because I haven't even been here. And it was really great to finally see it on the inside. Oh my gosh. I saw the pictures, but the pictures don't even do it justice. Like, you have to walk through there.
Yeah. It's kind of almost like how Bradford House is in a way.
Yes. You really have to see it to admire the craftsmanship and the attention to detail that the decor has. So that was awesome. We got a cheese board and a couple wines. And we were, you know, just taking our masks off to take a sip, take a bite, putting them back on for most of the conversation at the table. And we felt very safe. They have hand sanitizer everywhere. It was a limited capacity. And like I said, we were outside, and that was honestly, like, it was a perfect experience. I can't wait until they have a second patio area on the other side that they're trying to get licensed by ABLE. So they built it out. It's just not fully approved for use yet. But as soon as that is, I know they'll have more patio seating for the nice days that we still have in our Oklahoma winters, you know?
You know, I actually just noticed that Aurora commandeered some of the parking in front of their space too.
Good for them.
To like create more outdoor space. So I'm liking seeing places do that, because it's just nice to have options for people. But speaking of when I mentioned Bradford House, that actually did happen since we last recorded. So we hadn't talked about that.
Man, it's been a while, y'all. Yeah, so Bradford House had us out for breakfast.
Yeah, it was back at the beginning of October. And we went out there and had a few of the breakfast entrees and some of the pastries.
Oh, I had the latte. I had a hazelnut latte. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I really liked that that savory, like, pesto pastry that we had.
Yes, with the dried
tomatoes.
It had, like,
red pepper, cheese, and pesto, and it was so freaking good.
So good. And that's from Quincy's Bake Shop right there in the Bradford House. I can't wait to come back. Like, I want to eat more food from them. I want a drink
at that bar. We have to try to be there to take more pictures, because we couldn't really take much advantage of it that day because we were kind of in a hurry.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Need to go back with a crew too, not just us, but absolutely. Oh my gosh, I can't believe
that. We need to have someone to help take our pictures, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, some random lady that was staying there like helped us and was so nice.
We appreciate her. We do. We do. Well, I was at the study and it was actually last night. And so I was like, oh, well, while I'm, you know, down on Film Row, I'll go visit my friends over at Core 4. And they were closed because apparently they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I would know that if
the one day you don't see Jill post from there.
I know. Well, I don't have time to watch their social media accounts. And yeah, I had no idea. I was like, oh, that was random. But okay. And she was like, yeah, it's been like that. And I was like, cool. This is my like second time trying to come. But so I ended up going over to OK Cider Co. and sitting with Tim for a little while and just chatting with other people who were in there drinking, and got a little bit of their morning delight, naughty apple cider, or naughty coffee apple cider. That's my fave.
Mm.
So
nice.
Yeah, that was a good time. Anything else for you or anything else that we can't remember?
Nothing else major, but I have been participating in some more Bar 3 classes lately because mm-hmm. I have a package that's about to expire, and nothing motivates you like when you're about to have some classes go to waste.
Yep.
So, I had 7 unbooked out of my 10 package, and I had about like 11-ish days to try to do it. So I'm still in the middle of it. I have like 4 or 5 more that I still have to do. But they have the live streams too. So you can use those same as like in person, but they've been doing in-person classes outdoor as well.
Oh yeah.
In like their patio area at the Class and Curve location, and also like by the fountain over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I went to most recently, it was actually just like in kind of one of the parking areas where none of the cars were, because it was like earlier in the morning, so none of the shops were open yet. So that's been cool to like, because that's kind of some of the first times I've been back in like a studio setting recently, or like in a class setting like that. So I've liked being able to do those outdoors. And
how do they do
those classes in
without a physical bar? So like, what are you doing outdoors?
You're just not using that. Like any of their classes that aren't in studio don't use the bar. So they just do other stuff to make up for that.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
I still had my like bar ball though.
I used one today.
So you can still bring your own props.
Okay.
And you bring your own mat. So
nice.
But yeah. So I'm getting that in. The package expires on Tuesday. So I'm making it happen because I hate like when I don't use up those things.
Well, I have faith in you. I think you can handle it.
Yep.
All right. Well, on to our interview.
Not ready, but we've already started. I'm not ready, but we're already falling.
All right, so now we're really excited to introduce the owners of Kindred Spirits. So each of you, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
All right, I'll go first since it looks like, I'm going first. Ha! Sandino Thompson. I was born and raised Northeast Oklahoma City and one of the owners, the managing partner for Kindred Spirits Bar and Restaurant in Northeast Oklahoma City. We're part of the Northeast Renaissance, bringing more life and activity back to Northeast 23rd Street.
So how did you get involved with the Renaissance and decide, hey, I want to be part of it and open a restaurant?
So for me, that part of the story for me is actually pretty long lived. So I grew up in Oklahoma City, went to college at OSU, moved away for 10 years or so, like a lot of people that I know did. And then in 2010, decided to move back to Oklahoma City. Part of the reason why I wanted to move back is because I wanted to make sure. This is home. I've always been connected to it, even though I've had the fortune to travel a lot of different places. And so watching the growth of Oklahoma City over the last 20 years or so, it was a lot of things happening, but it didn't necessarily feel like the side of town and the communities that I grew up around and that I was the most engaged with were part of this Renaissance story. So I moved back because I felt like I had something to offer. And I felt like there were things that I could do to engage, to really make sure that that my side of town and the communities that I grew up in and that I was close to were a part of the story of Oklahoma City. So So from that time, actually, I've worked with community leaders, other professionals, entrepreneurs and business owners and interested parties in how we could make that thing happen. So very early on, probably six, seven years ago, we really started an organizing effort to really try and figure out how we get more revitalization, more development, things like that happening on the northeast side of Oklahoma City, and really connect that to the things we saw happening downtown, the things we saw happening in Midtown, the things we saw happening in Uptown, right on the other side of the railroad tracks on 23rd Street. So that's kind of my story. I'll give Kai a chance to sort of talk about that as well. But so I got involved from the very beginning, and really Kindred is just the culmination of a lot of efforts and a lot of conversations over the last few years in building relationships to really try to create a third place. So, you know, there's this idea that you have work and, you know, and you have home. So those are a lot of dynamics for people. Most people have where they live and then they have the places that they commute to every day. And we wanted to create the third place, which is the place you decide to spend time with to get out of those two environments, and something that's casual and something that's nice. So we feel like we need more of that on the northeast side, and Kindred is our attempt to do that.
Awesome. What about you, Kaya?
So like Sandy, you know, I was also born and raised in Northeast Oklahoma City. Generations of my family from Northeast Oklahoma City. I previously owned Urban Roots, and that was located in Deep Deuce. So my involvement in Kindred was basically thinking and figuring out what the next thing was going to be, and how we were going to continue to sort of highlight the culture. My background has been in food and beverage my whole career. Sandy and I have been friends for, I don't know, 25 plus 20, almost 30 years. And so we're always just kind of figuring out how we are creating new opportunities in the Northeast community. So very much what he said.
Well, and I remember Urban Roots. I remember you guys had an awesome bathroom, like very fancy. Am I remembering that right?
You are. Okay. One of the bathrooms was fancy. The other bathroom was a lot more normal, but the one most people use was pretty fancy. Yeah. And Urban Roots was really, you know, we were talking about this the other day. I mean, that's sort of the spirit of Kindred is really started there. Because that was something like when I first moved back, I mean, one of my first conversations was with Kai on, you know, hey, how do we do something that sort of just makes a mark and it creates an outlet for Black culture, right? And Urban Roots was our effort to do that. The challenges that we really faced were the fact that Deep Deuce, despite the fact that it is the heart of the African-American community historically in Oklahoma City, first place that most African Americans that moved to the city could really live legally because of the segregation laws, things like that, and where a lot of the early 20th century Black culture really came to be. It was gentrifying. And so when we went in there, we were idealistic. We're a little younger and a little less gray hairs, and really thought, hey, we can do something to sort of make our mark and make sure we preserve some of that history. Well, what we learned is that you know, we probably were a bit too late and a bit too optimistic. And so we experienced a lot of success with Urban Roots as far as turning people onto the possibilities of a gathering place for Black culture that plenty of that everybody could engage with, right? But we actually eventually just got priced out of the market. So the building was sold, and when it was sold, the rents went up and we couldn't sustain them. And so our objective from that experience was, the next time we try this, the next time we think about this, Oklahoma City deserves it. We know our community, our network and our friends and people deserve it. The next time we do it, it's going to be much more sustainable, much better informed, and it's going to actually be connected to a whole environment that we just have more control over. So we won't get priced out of our market again. And I do think that's a part of the story of East Point, which is where we're located at 23rd in Rhode Island. So it's the story of this whole development, other minority-owned, in fact, 90% minority-owned development of retail on 23rd Street. The first development of commercial development like this in over 30 years. And Kindred is going to be the neighborhood bar for that community. So it's very intentional, and it's kind of the next chapter, I think, for us from those experiences.
That's really cool. Are you guys planning to... do like the poetry readings and like the music that I remember from Urban Roots?
Yeah, so I think we actually, some of our partners in this project are people that we got to know through that kind of programming and those kind of activities at Urban Roots. So we're working, so Quentin Hughes is another one of our partners, and Steve Harris. And those were two guys that when we were at Urban Roots, they actually worked to do a lot of the programming. They worked to sort of do a lot of the events and connect with a lot of the talent. So there are a lot of people who, a lot of the talent that we used to work with interested in just rekindling that. And then we have a ton of new ideas to create an outlet for creatives and to create a creative space. So yes, we plan to do that. We plan to do those kind of events, live music, poetry readings, things of that nature. And then we're also working on what we think will be a really fabulous patio so that we can use year round to actually amplify those experiences and take some of this outdoors, which is kind of a good thing given the current circumstances that everybody's sort of contending with this pandemic.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about the food and drink situation.
All right, I'll let Kaya speak to that. She's actually the brains behind our food and beverage situation.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I also want to hear about the cocktail pop-ups that you guys have been doing.
So the cocktail pop-ups we've been doing are really just to kind of test the market and work through our cocktail menu and kind of get our staff trained and kind of see what people thought. The idea behind the food and drink. So the food is just small bites. So it won't be a full menu. And we plan to partner with a lot of food trucks and allow them opportunities to kind of showcase their businesses and partner with us in our patio area. But our plates are going to be small, what we're calling soulful tapas.
Oh, I love
lots
that.
Of flavors. Thank you. Lots of flavors that are sort of rooted in what we have known or what we call soul food. And really just playing on the flavors of our ancestors, really. Cocktail menu, we're really looking to focus on a lot of small, organic, family-owned distillers, Black-owned brands, craft cocktails. So we're making all of our own mixers and syrups and just really playing around with those same flavors as I talked about with the food. And so I'm really excited to show that it's not Urban Roots, because I think a lot of people see my face like, oh, it's going to be like Urban Roots. It's like, nope, it's a whole new experience.
Yeah, and you guys call yourselves Kindred Spirits Culture and Cocktails. So I think that's really good to kind of encompass the whole vibe that you're going for with this concept.
Yeah, so I think we've just kind of tried to, like Kai was saying, be really really intentional and creative with a lot of that. So like we'll do things that are really not seen very often maybe, and we'll have little subtle details. So Kindred is gonna definitely for us be a representative of Black culture and the Black story, the Black narrative of Oklahoma. So that's the idea. We definitely, like I say, our doors are open to everybody, but we feel like when you come to Oklahoma City, like there's not a lot of obvious places where you can go and experience Black culture. So to reference Deep Deuce, like you can go there and you can look down on the street and you can see plaques that tell you about all the historical things that happened 50 years ago or 70 years ago, right? But what was missing is like if people are want to see the Black experience within the context of Oklahoma City, like we don't really feel like that's very accessible. So we're trying to make it accessible here. And so the culture part will be a part of that theme. We're sort of really rooted in like the Kindred idea is rooted in this idea of Afrofuturism. So being really aspirational, telling the story of the Black past, but also thinking about the Black future. And even our interpretation or approach to working with locally owned. So we're both looking for like Black owned distillers and vintages and beers and things of that nature, but also trying to reinforce the local concept because we think that's important and we want to be an important part of that community. So we have local beers on tap. We have cognac on tap, and so that's again one of those cultural nods because we think that's something that's unique, you know, but it also speaks to something that's really pervasive in our culture. You know, we know a lot of the folks who will frequent our establishment like a good cognac, so we just said might as well put one of those on tap because that'll be pretty authentic to who
really
we are.
That's really cool. Like nobody's doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So So we think we'll be able to have fun with things like that. I mean, even when you walk into the bathrooms and they tell a story, one of them has wallpaper of the Green Book, which is the African-American travel guide from the 20th century that kind of told them where were the safe places to go. And we just highlighted all the places in Oklahoma that were in the Green Book. And then the other bathroom has the Black Dispatch, you know, which is one of the early Black papers. And it really just gives you a lens into like the kind of conversations and the culture that's always existed in Oklahoma, but people might not have been aware of. So we want to be a mouthpiece for a lot of those things. Yeah. Everything from Yak on Tap to what you see in the history lessons in the bathroom.
Well, and it's kind of despite the COVID situation, it's kind of the perfect time because the Black culture has been so much more amplified in these recent years than probably when you first started Urban Roots as well. And like, I feel like there are a lot more people who are interested in really wanting to get to know more of what that's about, because it's so easy to kind of be in your own little cultural bubbles within your little communities that you're part of and not realize, just like you said, kind of what's just right on the other side of the railroad tracks off of 23rd, you know?
Yeah, so that's a good point. And so there's a lot happening in this community. We think there's a lot to be proud of, and there's a lot of investment that we're trying to get folks to make. So Kindred for us is really like a way to create a beacon to help people navigate and understand and engage with that. So like I said, we want our doors to be open, but we're definitely saying that we're here on the other side of those tracks. And we're trying to be a part of the broader Oklahoma story. And people seem to be interested in understanding, right, and being aware of those narratives and how those narratives exist. Definitely the things that have happened in 2020, if there's one good thing that has come out of a lot of challenge, right, and a lot of difficulty, is that awareness and that interest in understanding the stories and the cultures of the people that we live around and our neighbors has definitely, I think, been heightened. And we think this is a good gathering point for continuing that story.
That's wonderful. Okay, Anna brought up COVID, the elephant in the room. So I had a quick question. What is the patio situation like? And are you guys going to be doing to-go orders, online ordering, anything like that?
Great question. So yes, we do intend to do some level of to-go orders. And obviously COVID, one other good thing amongst a lot of horrible things is it's brought us more liberalization to our liquor laws. So
there we go.
Our our cocktails and things of that nature, we'll definitely leverage for people who want that. And then obviously food and things of that nature. So what's nice about this, it makes it look like we did it on purpose. We definitely wanted to be intentional, but we got lucky with the pandemic. We have a small space. So it's 1,000 square foot bar, a big bar top, and then some casual seating around the space. But then we have two garage doors.
Are you in the space right now?
I am in the space.
Okay, because I see you kind of like looking around, referencing what you're talking about. Yeah. So I was like, he must be there right now.
I am in the space.
Yay, he's showing us around a little bit. Because we haven't gotten to see it yet. So that's awesome.
So
apartment is very black everywhere. And I was like, that's a design choice. I'm not judging.
Yeah. No, we got, yeah, it works, and I don't have the lights on, so we got a couple of little treats for you guys when you actually do come by. Really interesting sort of lights and LED complement to what we're doing. But so one of the nice features, speaking of the patio, is we have two garage doors that open up to our patio, and we've actually got more space outdoors than we do indoors. So right now the weather's been pretty nice. We've actually taken advantage of that because we're very serious about the physical distancing and protections and masking. And we're actually about to start this month with hopes to finish in about middle of next month, a build out on our patio to create a more semi-permanent structure where we can get heaters up in the winter and really be able to use the space more year round. So we're looking forward to that.
That is wild that you've had so many things that just seem to make this right for this time.
Yeah, as hard as 2020 has been, and it definitely hurt us, we're about a year and a half later than what we wanted to be. We really were hoping that we could open in February, and we're just now sort of opening in November. But one of the things that's allowed us to do is adapt, and we think so long as people are able to be out and about, we'll be able to have a space that can really be utilized, even if you need to sort of practice that social distancing. And obviously we're gonna emphasize the outdoor space, and we think that'll really be, we think people will really enjoy it and appreciate it, even in the wintertime.
So what are your hours like?
So our hours right now, and this is also kind of informed by the pandemic, our hours right now are basically 3 until. We're usually it's 10, 11. So obviously the governor just passed a proclamation, I think, or something saying that restaurants and bars needed to close by 11. So we'll be 3 until, likely 3 until 11, Thursday through Saturday. And then we'll be open 3 until on Sundays, but that might be a little closer to 3 to 9 on Sundays.
Cool. Well, it's been really nice to hear more about your story. I didn't realize that Kaya was the person, or both of you, I guess, were the people who were behind Urban Roots, and it, like, I'm just connecting all the dots, and it makes so much sense. And it's really cool to see you guys create this in a new life in the Northeast 23rd District. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I mean, we're excited. We're fired up about the concept. We're fired up about the development, and just appreciate you guys for having us on and allowing us to be able to tell that story to more people.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to finally have them on and hear from them.
Yes. Like we said at the beginning, this is something, you know, we've really been excited to learn more about and to finally come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And we're always excited to see businesses grow in underutilized districts. And I think this will really help kind of bring that attention more to that area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So in our happenings, this one is one I know I'm very excited about. The Big Friendly is opening their brewery on Friday. So tomorrow they're opening up their doors. You know, the Big Friendly as the Big Friendly Beer Bus. And then later the Big Friendly, or I don't, it was still Big, the trailer. They did a trailer. I'm not sure if it still had the word big in it. Cause now it was tiny, but it was still Friendly. And they've been working to build their own brewery and start doing their own beer. So previously, they just served other local beers out of taps, out of their bus or trailer, and now they are getting into the game themselves. And we love a new brewery coming to town. And so this will be out in the Wheeler District. I think it's going to be one of the first couple things out there. I know Terminal Commons.
And then we're going to make a time to visit out there, like for the district some point. Because we need to get reacquainted with that district now that it's had some changes. So
exactly. All right. And then Jimmy B's, it's Jimmy B's Culinary and what?
Crafted, but the culinary is spelled properly with a C and the crafted is spelled with a K.
Okay.
Choices here.
They were made. So this is going to, do you remember what this was replacing? The former Mercedes-Benz dealership building.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what I understood. And it is part of the Hal Smith Group, which we are fans of. Okay. And they always are like willing to kind of try things. And like, feel like that, like, I mean, now may not be the best time to try to do that, but like, I appreciate their willingness to like go out on a limb and be like, hey, we have this concept we want to try. It's different than anything else we have right now. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, let's take a stab at it.
Yeah, because they're going to have not only sushi, but like also like American food. And that just very much reminds me of Broadway 10.
Yeah.
And it's literally like walking distance from there. So I'm curious to see how this is going to be.
Me too, but I'd love something going in a new space.
Yeah, because that dealership moved up to Edmond at least maybe like a year ago.
It's been empty for a while.
Yeah, because had you ever been to an event there?
No, but didn't Chocolate Decadence used to happen there?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And we hadn't made it yet when that happened.
Nope. The next thing that I have, so is replacing Anchor Down, which had closed right around March. I can't remember if they were like early COVID closing or they had like closed anyway and it just happened to coincide with it. And it was like, oh, okay, fine. But they are reopened with a new concept that is a vegan-friendly neighborhood bar. It's called Block Bar, B-L-O-K. And I think that's kind of a play on the fact that they're shipping containers, like blocks stacked.
I wondered if it was like a play also on like okay for Oklahoma or no.
I think so, probably. I think there's a lot happening there, but super cool logo. I like a vegan concept. So far I'm seeing like kind of vegan hamburgers, vegan nachos, vegan sandwiches. So it kind of seems kind of comfort foody a little bit. There's lots of cheese happening. So it's got to be that cashew cheese, but everything looks like it's got a good amount of toppings and stuff on it. So
tacos look good.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it. Everything looks pretty good. And then, of course, it's still a bar, so you can get drinks, even if you don't want to try any of those food options. So
I wonder how much they changed the inside of it.
We're going to have to go look for sure.
Yeah, we might just have to do a little walk through Deep Deuce one night and
see all the changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to use that that gift card that we still have.
Yes. We do need to do that. Okay.
We can go eat on the patio at Bar Cicchetti.
That's and then perfect.
Go check out Block.
We'll have a nice little Deep Deuce friend date night. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, something else that we were sad to hear is that Flix has had to temporarily suspend their operations due to the COVID restrictions. So we will be posting on our social media, like our stories about when they're going to be back up. But I think it was just this week that they announced they had to shut down. So I know with how much they put into making that happen, they're going to try to be back as soon as it's safe for them.
Absolutely. And when it is safe, if you would like to support them and you're still not comfortable going and eating there or seeing a movie there, although you could go see a movie, keep your mask on at super distance, we felt very safe. You can go get beer to go because they still brew beer, and you can grab growlers and go just like you would any of our local breweries. So just another idea.
And their beers are really cheap.
I think it was like $5 growlers, $3 to have a pint there of their house beers.
Yeah.
Like, you can't beat those prices. And they were still really good beers. So just throwing that out there for anyone. I had actually considered going and picking up a couple crawlers this weekend. Now I'm not going to because they're closed. But, like, that was on my to-do list. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. We also have an event coming up that we aren't able to, like, accommodate for a full show because it's a smaller event. But we're super excited for them. So we wanted to touch base, let you guys know about it. It is our friends over at the Craft Brewers Association, CBAO, who we've had on this show many times. They are working in partnership with Equity Brewing, which is a new female-owned brewery out of Norman.
Do you know the people from that?
I do, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to get them on the show. I know they're still, I think they were finally able to open their space in a somewhat limited capacity in the last couple of weeks. And so we're going to have to chat with them soon about everything that's been going on. But yes, so as part of Shop Small Saturday and Small Brewery Sunday, they are hosting the inaugural, and look at them using the right form of that, inaugural Oklahoma Pint Days, November 28th and 29th. And so this is going to be a fundraiser that directly supports CBAO's mission, which is to promote independent craft breweries in the state through advocacy, community, education, and public awareness. And so $5 of every glass purchase are going to support that cause. And the glasses are $10 total, and they come with one free beer of the brewery's choice. So they're going to be on sale at all of the local breweries, pretty much everyone who's a member of CBAO. So you can find that on their website. But it's $10. You get a beer in it, and then you get to keep the glass. It's pretty. It's like rainbow.
It's really nice looking.
Yeah, with this like scissor tail fly catcher on it. I am absolutely going to have to get one. I'm so excited about it.
And it's not like a normal shape of pint glass either. Like,
no, it's a fun shape.
One of the kind of more specialty sizes.
Yes. So we're super excited about it. Oh, and it's designed. Who's the artist that designed it? I want to give her a plug. It is designed by Jackie Braun, founder of Bluering Design LLC, and one of the co-owners of Equity Brewing. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm going to definitely get one of those because that's like worth adding to the collection for, you know?
Yes. Well, I'm going to put it right next to my Beetlejuice from Flix. And that was all of my things. Did you have any additional happenings that you knew about? I know it, now that it's been, you know, a month and a half, almost 2 months, I'm sure a lot more happened, but those were
so
recent ones.
Well, not of happenings, but I did remember, so I did actually go to another place that we had wanted to have on earlier this year when they were gonna open, which was Granny's Kitchen.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
I love Granny's. So I haven't been actually yet.
Yeah, I actually just went this past weekend.
Okay.
And so Patrick had seen them talk about the Stillwater one on Living Oklahoma the night before. Or not Living Oklahoma, Discover Oklahoma.
Discover Oklahoma.
Okay. And so I was like, yeah, they have one on Memorial. Like, we were supposed to interview them with the show, but that's like right when COVID happened.
Yep.
So it just didn't work out. But so we actually needed to go up to Edmond for something anyway. So then we stopped by there for breakfast, and I ended up getting, I think they call it like the pig biscuit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a biscuit debris type of situation where it's a biscuit, the gravy, like crumbled sausage, bacon, and ham.
Yeah.
It's all like kind of like minced.
Yum.
And then had a side of hash browns.
Ugh. Were they crispy enough?
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
So yeah, and then Patrick had some pancakes and just sausage and eggs. So, but they were like pretty busy. The service was, they did a good job. Like, they were keeping up, and like as soon as people would leave, like people would clear that table so freaking fast, and like they had a lot of people working. So like you could tell they just like cared about like
on top
making of it be done right.
Good. Oh, I love to hear that. Yeah. Well, if y'all know about any things that we haven't talked about that you think we definitely should, we're definitely going to be in the market for some topics coming up in the new year. So let us know what's happening January, February, and anything else from you, Anna?
No, but well, I did want to mention a couple things that we hope to have before the end of the year. Like some things we're looking forward to, like Curbside Flowers, which will be the new flower shop from Curbside Chronicle. So that's set to be opening in December. So I'm hoping to talk with them before the end of this year. And then Spiked Coffee Concept, which is also someone we've been kind of reaching out with for a while, of waiting on the right time for that. So those are a couple that I hope to be able to have for sure before the end of this year. And then otherwise, we're definitely looking to see what's going on for 2021.
All right. Can't get here soon enough. You can follow along. We are Localites OKC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at gmail.com. We will talk to you later.
Bye.